Morning, Revelation chapter 4. I want to read the whole chapter for us, Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, starting in verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honour and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth for ever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for this time this morning. Thank you for the singing of the hymns. Lord, it does bless our hearts, and we trust, Lord, brings pleasure to you. We're thankful, Lord, for those who've written the hymns and, Lord, the experiences you've taken them through, Lord, that they've been able to pen the words, Lord, that are such a blessing to our hearts this morning. And Father, we're thankful for the Word of God and being able to read it in a public way. And Lord, just the freedoms and the liberties that we enjoy, Lord, we do praise you and bless you and ask, Father, that as we would look into your Word together, that you would refresh us, Lord, that we might be encouraged that this old world's not our home. We're just passing through. And Lord, we're looking forward to that great day when we would be with you and we would be able to join those who we've read in your word this morning who are around the throne of God and are crying out this day, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, Lord, that we would one day join that great anthem and give to you the praise and the worship and the glory and honour due unto thy name. Lord, in the meantime, that you would just bless us now, we pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak this morning about heaven. Verse 1 says, After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. I was thinking about heaven this morning and about this message, and I was thinking about the words of one of the hymns or part of the hymn in our book, which says, Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Saviour's face. Heaven is a wonderful, heaven is a glorious, heaven is a wonderful place. And then there's a few more words there, and then the hymn goes on this way. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen. Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I looked up my concordance this morning, had a look there to see how many times the word heaven was mentioned, or heavens, pardon me, and I found that there was over 700 times in the scriptures that heaven's mentioned. And I didn't look at all the particular aspects of heaven in those 700 odd times, but I thought to myself, if God has mentioned the word heaven that many times in the scriptures, he must think it's an important place. And he must want us to think it's an important place and a wonderful place where God himself dwells right now, along with the angels and the angelic beings and those who've gone on before. And you've all heard some of these statements. No one's ever come back to tell us whether it's real. Anybody ever heard that? Someone's ever told that to you? You talk to them about heaven, they say, well, how do you know heaven's a real place? No one's ever come back to tell us. Boy, I've heard that a few times. Well, already in this passage I've read, we find John giving us a testimony that he'd been there and he'd come back and written about it. He said, I saw a door opened in heaven and a voice said, come up hither, and I was in the spirit and behold a throne. And then he described what he saw when he was in heaven. Now, for those who don't believe the Bible is God's word, then they'll have difficulty with John's testimony, I guess. But I'm happy to accept the fact that this is the word of God from cover to cover, and that God has preserved it for us down through the generations, and that what is written here is indeed fact, that John was taken up into heaven and saw those things that he described, or tried to describe. I mean, you imagine, he's trying to describe some things in heaven that you and I have got no idea about. And he talks about the angelic creatures there, and the various things throughout the book of Revelation. He's trying to describe some things that you and I don't know anything about in our personal experience. And so he keeps saying it from time to time. It was like this and it was like that, to try and give us some idea of the glories of heaven. No one has come back to tell us. Well, John was taken up into heaven and came back to tell us. The Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians 12 that the Apostle Paul was caught up into paradise, into the third heaven, and he saw things that it wasn't lawful to speak about. The Apostle Paul was caught up into heaven and he came back to tell people about it, to write about it, and we have testimony of it today. We know the Lord Jesus Christ himself came from heaven. We looked on Wednesday night at some of the scriptures teaching the pre-existence of Christ, or the pre-Bethlehem life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's very clear that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and as God he was in heaven. And he stepped out of heaven's glory, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and now God hath highly exalted him, and he's at the right hand of the Father. But the Lord Jesus came from heaven. He's the one who spoke very much about heaven in the scriptures. And so we don't need to doubt today whether heaven's a real place. There are those who have been there and come back to tell us. And then there's the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself came from heaven to tell us about it. Now, you say, what about those today who say they've been up to heaven and back again? I'll leave that with the Lord. As I understand the scriptures, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then after this the judgment, not a trip to heaven and then back again. I don't know what they do, some of those people, and the experience they have, but and I'm not too concerned about that this morning. All of us have probably had someone say sooner or later, so how far away is heaven? You say heaven's a real place. How far away is it? Well, I don't know how you respond to that. But I usually tell people it's not very far away at all. It's no doubt a realm that we're not accustomed to right now, but it's not very far away. Remember in Revelation 4:1, John says, after this I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven. He looked and saw a door open in heaven. Now, I know I've made this comment in the past, but unless he's got exceptional vision that it can see millions of miles, then heaven's not a long way off. He looked and saw a door opened in heaven and was spoken to and then taken up through that door into heaven. It's not a long way away. You read in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11 where the disciples were with the Lord Jesus and the Lord Jesus was taken up into heaven, and they were asked the question, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? They were looking into heaven and saw the Lord Jesus go up into heaven. In Acts chapter 7, verse 55, the Bible tells us that Stephen, as he was being stoned to death as the first martyr, looked up into heaven and saw the Lord Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. I mean, heaven is a real place. It's not a long way off. It's not zillions of miles away. It's in a different realm, I believe, that you and I can't experience right now, because the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. We cannot enter into the kingdom unless God does something exceptional, which he did with John and Paul. Then we cannot enter into heaven at this point. Our bodies are not made for heaven. They are made for this old planet Earth. But when the time comes when we either leave this body behind or the Lord Jesus comes and we get a new body, then we'll be able to inhabit heaven. One of the other questions that you've no doubt heard is, will we know one another? And I can't. To me, I think that's a foolish question. Will we know one another? Why wouldn't we know one another in heaven? What do people think when you go to heaven? You suddenly begin to become a spook? Or you're going to be changed into an angel? What do they think? I'm not sure why they ask that question. To me, it's a foolish question, but nevertheless one that people ask. Will we know one another? Of course we will. Who do you think I'm going to be? Tom Smith or something when I get to heaven? No. You and I are going to be ourselves when we get to heaven. Now we're going to be changed a little, and that's for the good. But we're still going to be ourselves. The Lord Jesus said to the disciples when they'd been out on ministering and they'd been preaching and they'd been healing people and doing those things, they came back and they were excited that the devils were subject under them. And the Lord Jesus said, don't be too excited about that. He said, rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. Now, if my name's written in heaven and every believer's name's written in heaven, it seems to me common sense and logical that when I get to heaven and God says, is Robert Cotton here? And I know I'm kind of, you know, using a bit of preaching license here, but he says, or one of the angels says, is Robert Cotton here? And they look in the book and they see my name there in the Lamb's Book of Life, written down on the 28th of February, 1982. They see that. They're not going to wander around and say, well, his name's here, but he's not here. What do you mean he's not here? Well, no. When the time comes for me to depart from this life, I'm going to be in heaven. And I'll be able to answer to the roll call. Remember the hymn, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And so when the roll is called up yonder, and they say, is Robert Cotton here? And I'll say, yes, I'm here. Don't worry about it. I said to the mother man, a man the other day, he questioned whether I was saved. And I don't normally get too upset about that question. I kind of like people, but I did get a little definite with him. I said, listen, let me tell you something. I got saved on the 28th of February, 1982, when I trusted the Lord Jesus my Saviour, and you may or may not think I'm saved, but let me tell you, I am saved. Amen? You say, you're a little aggressive. I was, actually, and I don't know if it was necessarily the... You know, I could have maybe been a little more gracious, but I was just, I'm saved. I wanted to know that. You know, salvation is not sort of a hope-so thing. Well, I just hope I'll be good enough. No, none of us are good enough. The Bible says there is none good, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. It's only sinners who are saved by grace who will be in heaven. There won't be good people there. All the good people will die and go to hell. All the righteous people will die and go to hell, except they repent and trust Christ as their Saviour. It's only sinners saved by grace, those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, who will be in heaven one day. But we'll know one another. Our names are written down there. Paul, as he wrote to the book of the church at Philippi, spoke about those fellow labourers whose names are in the book of life. Paul was anticipating one day seeing those people again in heaven. So their names are written down. And so we could go on. We'll know one another. Don't you worry about that. When I get up to heaven, I'll come up and say, hi, how you doing? As long as you're saved. If you're not saved, you won't be there. I won't be talking to you. But if you're saved, I'll see you in heaven one day. We'll be able to sit down and chat and talk and get down there by the river of life and have some fruit there off the tree of life. And it's just going to be a good time. and we'll know one another. And one of the other things that people come up with, and I've been confronted with it recently, we've spoken about it in our class, is what happens when a believer dies? You know, this idea of, well, you know, when you die, you just go in the ground, you're finished. Well, that may be man's way of reasoning it out, but that's not the scriptural teaching about what happens when a believer dies. Have a look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And while you're looking there, remember what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14. He said to the disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. Why was that? Well, he said that where I am, ye may be also. Well, if the idea is you go in the ground and you go to sleep for the next 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 years, that doesn't line up with what the Lord says, that where I am, ye may be also. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 6, therefore we are always confident. I mean, to me this is such a clear passage about a believer and what happens. Therefore we are always confident, Paul says, knowing. I mean, think of these words. Whilst we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. All right, where's the Lord today? Well, he's in heaven, isn't he? Yeah, isn't he? Yeah? Amen. Yeah, good. Just stay with me, okay? He's in heaven. The Bible teaches that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father and he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's in heaven. Paul said, we are confident and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present in the grave. No, to be present with the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 3, I just want to look at some scriptures here just to encourage us with this blessed truth that we're either here walking with the Lord or we're in heaven walking with the Lord. There's nothing in between. There's no halfway house, no purgatory, nothing else. We're either saved and on our way to heaven or we're lost and on our way to hell. Ephesians chapter 3, and Paul is speaking about his prayers here for the church at Ephesus. He says in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And notice verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Right now he talks about the whole family. Now some of the family are where, according to that verse? In heaven. And where's the rest of the family? Well, they're on earth. And so there is part of the family of God, as they're already in heaven. The rest are still here on earth. They're not in the ground sleeping or anything foolish like that. The whole family. He doesn't say part of the family in heaven and in earth. Well, then we'd have to wonder what happened to the other part. He says, no, no, the whole family. He said, I'm praying for you folk. The whole family in heaven and in earth is named, right? After who? Well, after the Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, Paul says in verse 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Right? To die is gain. To die is not to go to sleep in the grave. To die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labour, yet what I shall choose I wot not. Notice he says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul says, I've got this desire to depart and be with Christ. Where is he? He's in heaven. Have you ever had that desire? Have you ever had a desire? Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. If I could just get out of here and just be with you in heaven, what a blessing that would be. Lord, what a strait I'm in. Lord, I'm... I was reading about this this lady who had serious health troubles. She'd been told she'd had cancer and she was going to die. And she came to her pastor and said, "What am I going to do?" And she said, "It's not that I don't want to go to heaven." She said, "I'm not frightened to die. I know I'm saved, but," she said, "I've got some grandchildren I want to see grow up, and I've got some other things that I want to see happen." She was in a strait twixt two. She was quite happy to die from this cancer and go and be with the Lord, but she said, "The other part of me says, well, you know, there's some things I'd like to see here, and I've got some children, I've got some grandchildren, and there's some things I'd like to do." Paul's like that. Paul loved preaching the gospel, and he suffered greatly for the gospel, and so he's in a strait twixt two. He said, "There's still lost people who need to hear the message of salvation, but let me tell you, I wouldn't mind being with the Lord either." Amen? In a strait twixt two, to depart and be with Christ, which is what? What does he call that? Far better. Far better. This old world with all its problems and strife and turmoils we're living in a crazy, crazy world, and people are fearful, and now we're moving from global warming, which has been the big thing and the biggest scam in history, I believe, and now we're moving from that into a recession. Oh, look out. Moving into a recession, we're going to have to be careful now. It's like, ooh. A child of God ought to just laugh at that, really. Why would I worry about that? "But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and what? All these things shall be added unto you." It doesn't say, except if there's a recession, because God's going to kind of be in a bit of a spot. Then, you know, a recession comes along, God's going to have to say, "Well, listen, guys, normally I would meet your needs, but right now there's a recession on, and I really can't help you. But if you'd pray that this recession would soon pass, then I'll be able to get back on with the job of meeting your needs." I mean, as believers, we ought to just smile. Recession? That's interesting. Global warming? That's funny. Global cooling, that'll be coming soon, don't worry. How do you know? Because I'm going to start it. When I see all the money that Al Gore's made out of global warming, my oh my, there's got to be money in global cooling, let me tell you. It's got to sell the idea while it goes a bit. But we're in a straight twixt too. Lord, I don't know about you, but... when you're going somewhere, you're anticipating, normally, aren't you? You know, you're going on a holiday, you're anticipating. If you've been there before and it was a good time, you're anticipating going back there. If it's a first up, and my wife and I, Lord willing, sometime before we die, the way it's going, it's kind of getting extended, but we are looking to go to see Brother Holawadi in South America, and then we'll go around the world and whatever. But I'm looking forward to seeing what Brother Holawadi has spoken to us about. I'm looking forward to seeing some of those people who've been saved there and talking with them and seeing some of the churches they've established there. And I'm looking forward to seeing that. But I'm in a straight twixt too. There's things that have to be done here. And I get a call from Brother Jackson or an email and says, "Look, we're looking to come to Mount Gambier to present the ministry in the Philippines. We're back on furlough. Would sometime in May be all right?" Sure, May will be fine. Now I'm in a straight twixt too to tell him, "Don't bother, I'm going to South America," or "Come." I says, no, come, that'll be good. If you can come in May, that'll be great. We'll just go after May sometime. And then, I know, but you kind of get in a straight, don't you, twixt the two. And Paul said, "I'm in a straight twixt too, having desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." Every true born-again believer, there ought to be some desire there to want to be with the Lord. Some desire there, at least. Maybe not all day, every day, just wishing, wish I could be with the Lord. But there'll be a desire there to be with the Lord. Why? Because it's far better. It's far better. Heaven's far better than here. And we'll have a look at some of the far betters in a moment. And so we could go on and look at other scriptures, but I believe we've made the point, well, that when a believer dies, when we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. Now, what are some of the things about heaven? Now, I've spoken to the Holowati about Paraguay, and he tells me about certain things there, and some of it sounds good, some of it doesn't sound so good, but anyway. But I'm learning a little bit about it because I'm planning on being there. Now, God has sent some men to tell us a little bit about heaven. John has got some things to say, and Paul has some things to say. And so I like to read those things so I get a little bit of insight to what heaven's like, so that when I get there, it won't be a total shock. Okay? Now, one thing we know is this, that the Lord Jesus himself will be there. In 1 John 3, when John wrote there, he said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see him, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is." One of the great things for every believer, I think, is this, to one day see the Lord. Words kind of fail me. To one day see the Lord. Now, we see him now by faith, but one day to see him and to be able to, and again the word thank the Lord seems so inadequate, but to thank the Lord for what he's done for us. Imagine that, to be able to stand there before the Lord and say, "Lord, Lord, I want to thank you for saving me." I don't know whether I'll even be able to spit that much out, but what a wonderful thing to see the Lord and to be able to thank him for all he's done for us. To thank him for saving us. And we know he's in heaven, and we're not going to look at those scriptures this morning. We know there's angelic creatures there, and in Revelation 4 we read of some of those, and John has difficulty in describing them there in Revelation 4. He says there were four beasts or four angelic creatures, and each of them had six wings about him. They were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And one was like a lion, and one was like a calf, and one had a face as a man, and one like a flying eagle. Imagine one day we'll be able to see that. Imagine that one day when we go to be with the Lord in heaven, we'll be able to see those angelic creatures, and we'll be able to hear them as they say day and night, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." We'll be able to observe that for ourselves. Imagine what a privilege that'll be, and what a blessing that'll be. You know, one of the other things about heaven which is going to be a blessing, and Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:12, "For now we know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known." How many of us at times think, "Lord, why this? And why that? And why not this? And what about that? And what about this?" Paul said, "Now we know in part, but then shall I know, even as I am known." All the questions. You know, before I got saved, I had a lot of questions. Well, I thought I did. In fact, I did. I had a lot of questions. If there's a God, why this? If there's a God, why does he allow that? If there's a God, why doesn't he do this? And if there's a God, and if this, and if that, and if something. Always questions. I found a very interesting thing. After the 28th of February, when I got saved, most of those questions seemed to have disappeared. They just kind of went. Now, I've got other questions I didn't have before I got saved, but for myself, I can see heaven a little like that. Those things that I don't have answers for now, they'll be gone. Be all taken care of when I get to be with the Lord. I'll just see it. Oh, so that's what that was about. And so this is that, and that's that. Oh, Lord, thank you very much. But we'll have perfect knowledge. Perfect knowledge. And then in Revelation 21, verse 4, and I call this some of the no mores. In Revelation 21, and verse 4, and God's word says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death." Imagine that. All the undertakers out of business. No more death. No more death. You know, I was reading an article, just digress a little, because it was to do with death. I was reading a front page article in the Border Watch recently where there was something about dead bodies causing problems to our water, underground water system. Now, I know I'm digressing, but I just got to get it off my chest. One of the things in this article said this. There's very little legislation about what the undertaker does as far as the body and once it goes in the ground. And the concern was that there'll be certain things that associated with the body which will kind of leach out into the soil and then get into the water system. And one of the things they said they were concerned about was the mercury in people's teeth. They're concerned that that might get out into the water system somehow and affect people's health. That's my soul. Anyhow, you think about that. I couldn't believe it. Front page article. No more death. I don't have to worry about the mercury in the teeth. Amen. No more death. Neither sorrow. Neither sorrow. Some people, and more than others, seem to go through a lot of sorrow, don't they, in their lives? Just a lot of sorrow, some people. Just, it amazes me. I think, Lord, how come that these people seem to have such difficulties at times? Lord, the sorrow that they go through. The Lord says, no more sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. No more pain. Oh, that'll be something. No more pain. Young people, they just think it's, they think that's funny, no more pain. They don't understand what happens when you get older. Oh, no more pain. What a blessing that'll be. No more pain. When you know, I might have shared this, I'm not sure, but I was talking to a man one day and he said, you know, up until 60 I was doing fine. He said, once I got over 60, the aches and the pains. He said, just getting out of bed was the trouble. So I've got about another 5 or 6 weeks and I'm in big trouble. No more pain. What a blessing that'll be. For the former things are passed away. The no mores. No more sin. What a blessing that'll be. No more temptations to sin. What a blessing that'll be. I don't know about you, but there are days when my mind is going off in all directions. I'm saying, Lord, help me to think that which is good and that which is right and that which is pure and that which is of lovely. And if there be any thing of good report, think on these things. Lord, help me to think right, pure thoughts. But one day in heaven, no more of that problem. What a blessing. No more temptations to sin. No more flesh to deal with. You know what I mean when I say flesh to deal with? The flesh wars and lusts against the spirit. The flesh says, just make life easy for me. Just make me feel good. Just let me do what I want to do. And just let me. That's the flesh. There'll be no more trouble dealing with the flesh. What a blessing. What a blessing that'll be. And no more attractions out there in the world that keep pulling us away from God and the things of God. That's all gone. All gone. John wrote that, didn't he, when he said, love not the world, neither things are in the world. For all is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passeth away. Bless God. Amen. No more problems with the world. No more hurts in relationships. What a blessing that'll be. Amen. Even in the best of relationships, there are times when there's hurts and there's pain. That'll be all done. All done. And then, not forgetting our old adversary, the devil. No more devil to deal with. Amen. Coming along and saying, those fiery darts that he whispers into our thought life somehow, and all those distractions that he brings, and all the problems that the devil can bring into the life of a believer. No more, devil. Amen. No more. Lots of no mores, and we could go on, no doubt, but heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Saviour's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. Amen. I trust you're ready this morning to, if the Lord should say today is your last day, that you would be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Now, if you'd be able to be confident of that, you need to be saved. And if you're not saved, and I don't know your heart, God knows your heart, but you need to be saved. And let me just tell you, the way to heaven is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And it's when we come to that place and we say, God, yes, I know I'm a sinner, and I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, died in my place and paid the price for my sin. I'm thankful that on the third morning that tomb was empty because he'd risen from the dead physically and bodily. And I'm asking you, Lord, to forgive me, forgive my sin, save me, make me a child of God. That's as simple as it is to get ready for heaven. So you don't have to get your life better to impress God. God only saves sinners, those who admit it. The Lord Jesus said, I haven't come to call the righteous, but he said, I've come to call sinners to repentance. And if you're not saved this morning, if you would repent of your ways and of your sin and of your efforts to please God and turn to God and trust Christ as your Savior this morning, believing he died, believing he rose again, you would be saved in a moment. And from then on, you're heaven bound. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this blessed truth, Lord, about this home in heaven. We speak of it and we sing of it. And Lord, we're thankful for the reality of it. And Lord, to know that one day we shall, those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, we shall see the Lamb, we shall see the Lord Jesus, and we'll be able to thank him. Lord, as the hymn says, when we've been there 10,000 years, our Lord will only just begun, and we'll be able to continue to thank you and praise you throughout all eternity for thy great salvation. And Lord, how thankful we are that we're saved. And then Lord, not only just saved, but Lord, all the blessings of heaven, the no mores, Lord, no more death and no more sin and no more temptation and no more strife and no more hurts and no more pain. And we shall know as we are known, Lord, perfect knowledge. And then to enjoy all the benefits of heaven itself. And the fellowship with the saints. And Lord, that we will be able to sit down and be able to discuss for eternity what you've done for us and how blessed we are to be there. And Lord, be able to catch up with Paul and all the others who've gone on before. Lord, what a great future lies before the child of God. And Lord, we would have to say with Paul, at times we're in a strait twixt two, whether to part and be with Christ, which is far better. But Lord, there's still a work for us to do here. Lord, help us not to grow weary in well-doing. And help us, Lord, to be diligent and busy getting the gospel out that others might be saved so that they too could spend eternity one day in heaven. But just, Father, this morning, if there's any this morning who are not sure, they can't give a definite time and place, or, Lord, at least approximate that they're saved, then, Lord, I pray that just as we close out our service, Lord, that you would speak to them in the stillness of their own heart and thoughts. You might challenge them and show them that Christ indeed is the answer. He is the way. And they might acknowledge that they're sinners, and they might, in their own thoughts and heart and life, they would say, Dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe the Lord Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe he rose again the third day from the grave. And I pray that you would save me. Just while our eyes are closed and heads bowed, I wonder this morning, do you know for sure if you were to die right now that you would go to heaven? Is there a time in your life when you've trusted Christ as your Saviour, as a young person, older person, whatever, but you know for sure your sins are forgiven and that if you were to die right now, you'd be with the Lord? Now, if there's anybody this morning who's not sure of that, I'd like to help you with that. point you to some scriptures, point you to the Lord. Just to enable me to do that, if you just slip your hand up right now and say, Pastor, I'm not sure that if I were to die right now, I would go to heaven, but I want to settle that matter. Could you please pray for me? Could you please help me? Anybody at all, just slip your hand up, say, pray for me. I want to settle that matter of salvation. I want to be sure that if I were to die right now, that I would go to be with the Lord. Anybody at all, just before we close out. Father, I trust that by the lack of hands, Lord, that each one of us here this morning is saved. And Lord, I thank you that we have this great and blessed hope of heaven and the reality of it and the blessings of it and the anticipation of it, Lord, that one day we shall see you and we shall be like you. So again, we just give you praise and thanks now in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.